This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Nick Caserio joins us at the bottom of the hour. Seth's watching the Vince McMahon documentary, which has me very excited right now.
I'm doing it out of respect to you and Caserio.
And Nick,
you guys are such big wrestling fans, and I've been largely ignorant of it my entire life. And now I'm getting full bore into it, man.
You're enjoying it, aren't you?
I think Jerry Jones needs to lean into the Mr. McMahon role. I think the time is now.
He could do
Maybe then the Dallas Cowboys will start making money. Maybe then they'll...
Yeah, that's right. Vince did it out of desperation because his company was hanging on the line.
Yeah, Jerry's not at the spot where he needs to lean into being the heel just to make a buck or
with
something.
With his small family-owned business like Vince McMahon, big trades yesterday in the NFL with two wide receivers moving on. The big one was Devontae Adams to the New York Jets. Came down in the middle of our show yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was doing his weekly hit with Pat McAfee yesterday, and he said he is excited to be reunited with Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams is a New York Jet. So from your standpoint, when did you find out about it? And how pumped are you to be back on the same team as Devontae Adams?
Yeah, obviously I'm really excited. Love Tay. He's a phenomenal player and a dear friend. It was a crappy day yesterday, obviously. We had a real good chance to get to 3-3 and win a home game. Kind of gave that one away. I was pissed driving home through traffic, had a couple messages. I was just not in the mood to talk to anybody. Got home, and Tay had called me and texted me, and I finally called him back. And so about, 12:45 last night, I heard the news.
All right, so there you go. He is just driving home, and then he gets the good news about being reunited with his old friend.
I mean, if you ignore all of the various dramas and storylines surrounding all of this, and in looking at Devontae Adams recently in his performance, this was the best move for both guys. It makes sense. I know it might be annoying to some people that this is the Aaron engineered move that makes the most sense. Devontae Adams is still very, very viable. He's still, yes, he's 31, but it's his route running and the more nuanced stuff that ages really well that he's still really good at. And if you think back to when he was really smoking in Green Bay, how many of those throws and catches could have been made by other quarterbacks. They have a relationship and that kind of that ESP level communication, and in the scramble drill especially, they're just always on the same page. So you think about CJ Stroud and Nico Collins, how good they are in the scramble drill. There's a cumulative, like a synergistic effect there.
Chemistry,
above and beyond just how good a receiver and how good a wide receiver it is. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the two trades that got made yesterday, Adams to the Jets for a conditional third and Amari Cooper to Buffalo for a third-round pick. Logically, the Adams one is the more concerning one to Texan fans because you've already played the Bills. The next time you see the Bills might be in the postseason. You play the Jets in 3 weeks or 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow, actually, because it's a Thursday night game. So that one's of more concern. And I think, too, whereas the Buffalo trade for Amari Cooper felt like it was just desperation to get some sort of weapon for Josh Allen in that receiving core, there's already weapons in New York. I mean, Breece Hall is a really good running back. Garrett Wilson is a first-round pick and a former Rookie of the Year for a reason. Alan Lazard has done some good things this year, and now you bring in Davante Adams. I mean, it's not a perfect analogy, but it is similar to what the Texans were doing with bringing in Stephon Diggs.
Well, and not for nothing, just one game, one performance, but it was the Jets' offense was more of a strength in that game. You know what? Full disclosure, I only watched the first half. But the offense, I mean, the offense looked different. It might be the combination of a new coordinator. You saw it with Buffalo last year. They switched coordinators and things got better. So, I'm going to have to sit down this afternoon and think long and hard about which futures bet I'm going to put on the Jets, Sean.
Well, this is relevant then, Seth.
Yeah.
Because Vegas... How do they feel about the Davante Adams trade? I would summarize it by, meh. Because the Super Bowl odds, the AFC title odds, and the season win total for the New York Jets remain unchanged after this trade. So they are
unchanged.
Now it's logically, it's really difficult for a non-quarterback to move things like that.
Yeah.
Although... on things like futures bets, which are just a wacky market to begin with, it's like a lot like the stock market.
That's why wacky Seth
it's
loves them.
Noisemakers. Sometimes public sentiment, you know, especially with a big public team like the Jets, would move a futures line. I was a little surprised by this, just based on the marquee value of this trade and the team he's getting traded to in the biggest city in the free world. You know what I mean?
So here's the thing: what does it mean to the Texans individually?
Yep.
And I guess if there was a line on that game already, I wonder if it changed or not.
There is. Okay. Yeah. Now I don't know if it changed after the Adams trade.
Yeah.
But I Googled look ahead line Texans Jets. It opened this season at Jets -3.
Mm-hmm.
It has since gone down to Jets -1.5. I'm guessing that's largely because of the Texans being 5-1 and the Jets being 2-4.
That was probably it already before the trade.
Yeah.
So I asked on X and on my YouTube yesterday for feedback as to which position group Nick Caserio should trade for before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The overwhelming answer was... I'll say safety /cornerback. I think more safeties than cornerback, but a lot of people said defensive backfield in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, going into a game, the last 2 weeks, the Texans have faced mediocre wide receiving cores. Mediocre to unimpressive wide receiving cores.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a game against the Jets, the Texans right now have some liabilities in man coverage in the backfield. I think Newsom, perhaps, or somebody like that. I would not object to that at all, especially given the fact that Jimmy Ward is perpetually injured.
Yeah.
None of us feel good about Jalen Petrie and man coverage.
Yeah. So you did the thing on Twitter where you're just kind of looking at the replies and
it wasn't a poll.
Licking your finger and like holding it up to the wind to see which way the wind is blowing kind of thing.
And I said that I would demand this of Nick Caserio at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
I will command him to draft for trade for a defense.
Right at 7:30 a.m. when he comes on with us, you're going
to
do that?
Yeah, I'm trying to have a Jerry Jones moment here. I'm hoping that he threatens to walk off the... He's going to walk out of that studio over there at NRG.
It would take a lot for him to do that, I think.
Nick, I demand it!
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I'm scrolling over to the purchase button on my Netflix right now. I demand this.
Do you agree with the public sentiment there on the biggest need, like the biggest shopping list item for Nick right
now? It's weird because I do, and I realize that almost every single answer was somebody on the defensive side of the ball. Linebacker right now, just because of depth, because Henry Toa and Azeez Alshai are both injured. Christian Harris, who knows where the hell he is or what his deal is. Linebacker was a popular one. But it's funny because, look, the defense is the better unit on this team right now.
Yeah.
The offense has issues. They still do have issues. Despite the run game the other day, listen, the run game was awesome. There was a lot of smoke and mirrors with that, too. Like, these little whams and traps, they're fun, and it's nice that they broke. But if you have Cade Stover consistently try to block a good nose tackle in a game, that nose tackle is going to break Cade Stover's trachea. Mm-hmm. So let's not act like all of a sudden the offensive line is this miracle turnaround run blocking machine. They still got issues on the interior offensive line, especially. So I found it interesting that very few people suggested an offensive lineman, and maybe part of that is just that it's hard to just plug and play an offensive line.
Yeah, that's a chemistry group, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're just unplugging and plugging. But now injuries happen. You may need to do that. And I could see where maybe saying, look, we need some depth on the offensive line. You know, we could use a veteran, you know, either interior or even a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting big trust in Blake Fisher right now to be, you know, if something happens with Titus or Laramie that, and Blake Fisher, I think, has done okay these first couple games.
No, he's gotten better is the big thing. I think the upside is definitely there.
Yep.
I think that when I look at the Texans, what's up?
Oh, nothing. Our clock changed because of Nick coming on at 7:30.
I'll shut up.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Nick joins us at 7:30 on the show. You can continue to text the show, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, I want to stick with what Seth's talking about because we can carry this topic over. Biggest concerns heading into the Green Bay game this weekend. I say it every week, big injury report coming out today, especially at one key position. We will get to that. Biggest concerns heading into Green Bay, and we will do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we got the Green Bay Packers coming up on Sunday, 9 a.m. Texans countdown, noon kickoff here on Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner and I have you for postgame. Seth and I for the pregame, obviously. And we're looking forward to this, man. This is, without looking at the full slate on Sunday, I have a hard time imagining that there is a better game on the docket than this one, man. Two young quarterbacks that are both ascending as opposed to young quarterbacks who've been paid who are descending. And these are two teams that I think are maybe not in that Chiefs, Ravens, Niners. And I know the Niners are 3-3, but I think the Niners, look at the odds board. They're still thought to be the favorite in the NFC. Two teams that maybe aren't thought to be quite on that level yet. They've got to earn it still. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely two green arrow pointed up teams that can make a lot of noise in the postseason and possibly get to a Super Bowl. This could be a preview of a Super Bowl matchup for sure that we're watching.
Oh, yeah. Sunday. That'd be a fun one.
Oh, dude.
It's a Green Bay Packers, Sean. Texans are visiting royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Love, whatever he is.
Yes.
This is the C.J. Stroud versus... this will be framed and phrased as C.J. Stroud versus Jordan Love, which obviously it's not. Both quarterbacks will be asked about that this week. Both quarterbacks will say, no, it's us versus their defense, and that's all that there is to it. And so I don't care about whether the quarterbacks individually care about it. I care about it for bragging rights and the ability to be obnoxious on social media and just for my own good feelings. I need C.J. Stroud to come out as the obviously superior quarterback after this game.
I think that would be fun. Both Mulligetta guys, too, by the way. As an aside.
So he wins, which everybody is. That's important.
That's important. Yeah, he can't lose this game. I think if the Texans win this game, then we start to have some real, the conversations really start to bubble up about what the potential is for this team overall this year. Because this is one of the harder games on the schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah.
The Packers are a really good team. This is a tough environment. You're going in a little bit undermanned. Maybe we'll find out more today about how banged up they are defensively, the Texans. And you're without Nico Collins again for the second straight game. But, I mean, we're going to get to a point here. You win this game, you win a couple more here, which is very doable. We're starting to have conversations about can this be a team that can have the bye in the first round of the playoffs, because you're going to get shots at Kansas City and Baltimore later this season directly. You know, you're not.
Yeah.
You can do your own dirty work later this season against these guys.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. This is your fate is in your own hands.
Yes,
damn it.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's what's fun to me is that if they lose this game, it's not the end of the world. You're 5-2, and you got the Colts coming here on Sunday for a home game. You've beaten them already this year, but man, you win this game, and the sea starts to part a little bit for you.
My biggest concern still with the Texans in the offense, because the offense still is that was a nice performance versus the Patriots. There's still some things to clean up. The thing I would caution people against is getting too cocky about the run game just because Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce went off, and that was great. That was great. Some of the stuff that I think people are watching the game and thinking, like, okay, this is a different version of the Texans. Look at all these traps and these whams that they ran, all these creative little wrinkles they had. Here's where we got... The Texans can't continue to run the ball the way they did versus the Patriots with the frequency that they did, because it's too easy to beat some of those plays if an offense runs it too often. Like Cade Stover blocking the nose tackle on the one Joe Mixon run. Yes, that's great. But if you do that multiple times every week, Cade Stover is going to have his trachea chopped in half by a good nose tackle.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get destroyed. So it's something that's a compliment to the zone running game. But at the end of the day, they've got to really just continue to get better at the staples of their offense. I think people think the Texans are going to abandon their zone runs. The long touchdown to Damian was a zone run. The other good run that Damian had in that game was a zone run. There's no way in hell that they, after that game, they thought, oh yeah, we got to get rid of the zone run.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're not just going to tear up the playbook and start with something new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Defensively.
And no, point would be that they're still not good at the zone run blocking.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just, it's good that they've got some compliments to it and everything, but they got to get better at it.
The linebacking core is going to be a big one over the next several hours. Azeez Alshire left the game with a knee injury, came back and played, didn't play down the stretch. I'm kind of hoping that was more just to kind of manage him. You know, they were up by 20 at that point when Neville Hewitt was in there getting 9 tackles at the end of the game. Henry Toto is a big one. He's in concussion protocol right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one, man. This is a team that chose to play just 2 linebackers for the first month and a half of the season. Both of those linebackers are banged up right now.
He's got the Toa. It makes sense that he would have a concussion because he's got the most TFLs and tackles for no gains amongst all linebackers in the NFL. He comes up and he meets offensive linemen at the line of scrimmage with great force and ferocity. He's been a revelation this year in a lot of ways. He's still got growing to do, but he's just way better than he was last year. Neville Hewitt came in and played really well, but with a week to prepare. And I like, honestly, that's probably one of the things the Patriots, looking back on, probably would have wished they would have targeted and maybe tried to expose Neville Hewitt a little bit better, because he's got some issues in pass coverage.
Yeah,
going into this game versus the Packers, with the Packers knowing that the linebacking core is weakened, is an issue.
Yeah, Hewitt just doesn't move like those guys, particularly Alshire. He doesn't, you know, Alshire. Right. You know, He's just physically not as freaky as Alshire is, so that's.
But he does come up and smack the hell out of people.
There is merit to Neville Hewitt being a Houston Texan. There's no doubt about that. But there's limitations as well. So, all right, Nick Caserio is going to join us. We'll get into all this. We'll talk about the Packers game, the season so far for the Texans, and a whole lot more. Texans executive vice president and general manager Nick Caserio joins us next.
Are you ready?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Break it down. Hi, there it is. You know that music. You know what that means. Texans are 5-1. Times are good. Green Bay coming up this weekend. We got a lot to get into with our next guest. He is the executive vice president and general manager of the Houston Texans. He is Nick Caserio. Nick, great to have you. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, fellas. Thanks for having us. I have plenty of time, and since we're on the wrestling kick at the beginning of the program, I have not seen the McMahon documentary as of yet. So
okay.
It's on my list, but it's probably going to have to wait for a different point in time.
Okay, maybe the bye week or maybe after the season.
Nick, I've been
I'll have to interrupt my financial podcast that I listened to in the course of the day in lieu of a wrestling documentary. So maybe I'll get to it, but I'll try to continue to educate myself about venture capital and all things finance related when I'm watching film.
There you go.
Watch the McMahon documentary. You can learn how to be a billionaire. You need financial advice. Yeah.
Hey.
I've been grinding film trying to get on your level and on Sean's level when it comes to professional wrestling. So I've been watching wrestling documentaries.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah. But I know. But now I'm going to pull you into it. Now I'm concocting all kinds of dramas to try. I'm going to pull you into the pro wrestling world of sports talk radio, and I'm perfectly willing to be the heel on this.
Maybe me and Tony Khan can have a podcast together, and then we can talk all things wrestling.
Oh, that would be something.
he's an undrafted free agent expert, according to
That's what I've been told. Yeah.
That's what you need is the UDFA podcast.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nick also, okay, Nick, all right, let's get down to
business. We're off to a strong start, I can already tell.
Nick, I have to pay off on a promise I made to my social media followers, which is I put out the question to them, who should they trade for before the trade deadline, which position group? And I am here to demand that you trade for either a safety or a cornerback based on the responses of the people. If you care about the people, that you'll trade for a defensive back sometime in the next couple of weeks.
we're all about the people, so we'll see how the next few weeks go. So I'll take that under advisement when we turn the transaction and say, on behalf of the city of Houston and Seth Payne's followers, we hereby declare the following trade.
Yes, like a proclamation that they have, like in town square, like a scroll.
It is the way that I will be framing it if you do a cornerback or a safety.
You could take all the credit, no problem.
There you go. Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. All right, Nick, let's get into it with this team here. 5-1. I am asking this from a place of excitement with this team. How close do you feel like you guys have been to playing your best football this year so far, even with the 5-1 record?
Yeah, I think we're off to a decent start. It's good to be 5-1. We also understand 5 wins doesn't really get you anything in this league. So one of the things that we talked about in the offseason is trying to get off to a good start collectively as a team. And there's 17 opportunities that we have during the course of the year. So for that particular week, can we do enough to put ourselves in a position to have a chance really to win the game in the fourth quarter? I think that's the goal for everybody. That's the goal for every team. When you look around the league, I would say the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks just going through it. I mean, we were kind of keeping track of this. We got 9-1 score games, 10-1 score games, half the games are coming down to the final play. It just speaks to the overall competitiveness of this league. So our focus is on what do we have to do that week against the particular opponent that we're playing. So, and can we do enough? It really doesn't matter what the score is. It's all about just trying to come out on a positive side of the ledger. So if we win 3-2, like, that's a great win. So it doesn't really matter what it looks like or how it looks. Do we do the things that are necessary and that are conducive to winning? That's where our team's focus is, and that's the emphasis from DR to the group on a consistent basis on a week-to-week, you know, on a week-to-week basis.
Nick, Sean and I were, before the Patriots game, kind of looking at just trying to step back and take a broad, you know, view of things. And one of the weirdest things for me this year has been that, all right, teams have decided to try to limit the explosive passing as much as possible, and it feels like that part of that strategy has been effective. But at the same time, going into that game, the Texans were second in passing yardage. They were Nico Collins is still leading the league in wide receiving, and yet they hadn't scored a bunch of points. So just wait, in the strategy that teams are using against the Texans offense right now, like, what's the biggest obstacle really that they need to get over the hump with?
Yeah, I would say it's a give and take league, and I would say not just specific to our team, but when you look across the league, I would say the way teams play, the goal is you try to limit the explosive plays with the opposing offense, because explosive plays usually lead to scoring plays or put you in a more advantageous position. So even if you hit an explosive play, then it comes down to what happens in the red area. And red area is always about points. So can you hold a team to a field goal? Can you get the ball in the end zone? So I'd say, you know, Green Bay is a good example. They're one of the best red area offenses in the league. So regardless of how they do it, when they get down to the red area, they score. And we've had our moments where we've gotten down to the red area and we've scored. We've had other situations where we've kind of stalled out and had to attempt field goals. But it's not specific to the Texans. Each team is going to play a certain style in a certain way. I think when you read some of the different teams and the clips and going into the game, everybody's trying to limit the explosive plays. So everybody understands going in that it's probably going to be difficult. And if you hit a few, then maybe that gives you a better chance. So the defense is a really good in this league. Everybody's just trying to keep the ball in front of them and force teams to drive the football. And then really it comes down to the scoring plays, what happens in the red area. And then it really comes down to situational football. Can you execute at the end of the half? Can you execute at the end of the games? And I would say our team has done a good job at the end of halves. So going back a few weeks ago, we kind of were able to kind of get the two scores. We kicked the field goal at the end of the half. Can't remember if that was Jacksonville or a week before, but kicked the field goal at the end of the half and then come out in the second half and really put points on the board. So in the end, this league comes down to situational football. Can you execute in the end of half? Can you execute in the end of game? Can you do a good job in a red area? And do you take care of the ball? And do you take the ball away? So when you look at, I would say, Green Bay through that lens, they lead the league in turnover margin. They lead the league in takeaways. They do a good job in a red area. There's a reason that they're 4-2. They had to play without Jordan Love there for a couple games, but they found a way to win. So each week is about, Can you figure out a way against the opponent to put yourself in an advantageous position to give yourself a shot to win it in the fourth quarter? So that's not going to change for us. It's not going to change for the opponents. It's just that's our focus each week, and the game kind of declares itself after the first, you know, into the first quarter, into the second quarter. And then it's in the end, it comes down to execution. And are we doing the right things from our standpoint that are conducive to winning?
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, when you guys made the Stephon Diggs trade in the offseason, you know, at that point, everybody's healthy and everybody's envisioning this offense with Nico and Steph and Tank and all the crazy numbers that you guys could put up. But here early on in the season, Tank's missed a game. Nico's going to miss a few games. When you were factoring everything that went into bringing Stephon Diggs on board, how much did his availability and him answering the bell all the time factor in? Because, you know, these first five, six games, it's felt really good to know that you've got that other elite target out there to go along with the other guys out there.
Yeah, knock on wood, Steph's been available, and you look at the course of his career. I mean, he's been a very durable and productive player. So availability sometimes is more important than ability. Now, when you take availability and you combine it with ability, and I would say specific to Steph, just his mindset, the way he works, the way he practices, there's a reason why that he's had the success that he's had over the course of his career. In some respects, you look at Mixon, similar. I know he missed the three games because of the tackle and the ankle and all the rest of it. But when you look at the arc of a player's career, their availability, their durability, it's a part of the evaluation. It's not the sole purpose. But, you know, and then you look at the player and how they work, and then you usually see there's a correlation between why they're good and the mindset that they have, that they put themselves in a position to help a football team. So we're happy with that Steph is a part of the team. We thought we were getting a good football player. I think what we felt we were getting with Steph has kind of come to fruition. We haven't seen anything different to dissuade us from, you know, whatever else people may have thought it is or isn't. So Steph's been a great teammate. He's got a great attitude, brings a lot to the football team. We have a number of players like that, you know, and which is why we're fortunate enough to be in the position that we're in currently. But we also understand there's a massive amount of work ahead of us. And, you know, we're going to play, I don't know, three games starting Sunday, three games, 11 days. And it's about what can we do that week to put ourselves into the position to go 1-0, regardless of the outcome. Come in the next day, evaluate what happened, try to fix the things that need to get corrected, try to build on some of the things that we did well, look at the opponent, and just go out there and try to put together a good plan, which our coaches work their ass off and are diligent about. So, I mean, this league is just so damn competitive. Mm-hmm. So we just got to put ourselves in a position where we have an opportunity, and hopefully you have your best players available. And if they're not available, then that's where you have to rely on the depth of your team and the depth of your roster, which we've talked about at different points on this show. How you build your depth on the roster, how you build your depth off the roster with the practice squad, because at some point you're inevitably going to need everybody to make a contribution. And in the end, the best team is going to win, not, you know, the best individual collection of people.
Could you see this being a long-term thing with Steph even beyond this season, Nick? I know it's a one-year thing with him right now.
Yeah, we're open-minded on everything, so we'll have conversations at different points with players. We'll have it during the season. We'll have it after the season. We'll have it in free agency. So at the appropriate time, we'll have the discussions, you know, with the players. I mean, I think we've shown the propensity to kind of be open-minded and do whatever, whenever. So if we feel that's a situation that makes sense and there's mutual interest on both parties, I mean, we're always going to listen. We're always going to have constructive dialogue. Whatever the outcome is the outcome. But, you know, we're glad that the players that are on this team here in the 2024 season are here and they can help us win, because ultimately that's the goal.
Yep.
Okay, Nick, when you guys signed Cam Akers before training camp or right at the beginning of training camp, my initial thought was, all right, this is okay. This is a fun experiment. We'll see. But this is two Achilles tendon tears. Don't everybody get so excited about Cam Akers and maybe even seeing the field this year. And then we see him on the first day of practice. And I'm like, well, what the hell? This guy, I would not pick this guy out as having this a second Achilles tendon tear less than a year ago. What were you guys honestly thinking at the time in terms of just your expectation, I suppose? Did you have a feeling that, okay, this isn't your normal dude?
Sure. And I would say that particular situation, he was available. He'd been out of the league a few years, or not out of the league, but was on IR because of his medical situation. So part of our process is, whether it's in the spring, whether it's in training camp, we'll bring players in the building periodically, we'll work them out, we'll make an assessment, and if we feel like it's an opportunity that makes sense, and because we think this is a player that may have something that he can bring to the table, then we'll add him to the team. So that was a situation where brought Cam in, worked him out. He was healthy. He was, 8 months out from his last injury situation. So we're going to bring players into the building, give them an opportunity. I would say, I know the trade is public there, with Cam, but awesome kid. Glad he was in our program. They did a lot of things well. Honestly, a credit to him and his, mental fortitude and his mental toughness and his physical toughness. Not everybody can come back from something as significant as what he's had to deal with. To his credit, he was out there. He was available. He made progress. He improved. He got better. He helped us win some games. I would say in that particular situation, this is more of a case of us just kind of managing the roster here a little bit. Like, we feel we have a pretty good group there at running back. Cam has helped us a little bit as well. We feel like we're in a pretty good spot with DP, Joe, and Dare. And then I'm sure we'll have some depth on the practice squad here at some point. So, and there was an opportunity that kind of matched up Minnesota. They had reached out and they were kind of in a position where they were kind of looking to potentially add some depth. I think, Aaron's kind of been in and out there a little bit, really good player. They got Tyson Chandler behind him. And I think they were maybe looking for like another back. So at some point, it's just us managing the roster and trying to make a decision that, we feel is in everybody's best interest. But, certainly grateful that Cam was here. I think he lives in Houston or is living in Houston. Maybe in the offseason I'll see him at Whole Foods or something like that and wish him well and give him a big hug. But, Cam's a good player. Certainly wish him well. He helped our team. We have a lot of respect and admiration for the work that he put in, given his circumstance.
Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, just sticking with the running back position, I don't know the Texan fans or people like us covering the Texans were happier about a touchdown to go up 41-21 or whatever it was at the end of that Patriots game than Damian Pierce getting into the end zone. Do you feel like Sunday was maybe kind of a breakthrough weekend for Damian?
Yeah, everything's kind of case by case. I would say, just going back to DP, DP probably had one of the best off seasons of any player in the program. He worked his ass off. He was in good condition. He was healthy. He was making progress. And he helped our team. And when DP's gotten opportunities, he's taken advantage of them. And, Sunday was a good illustration of that. So he missed it 3 games or 3 weeks, whatever it was. But, for him to come back, I'd say his attitude, he's never wavered. He's always upbeat. He always has a positive attitude. He's a good football player. I think sometimes everybody kind of gets caught up and kind of can accentuate maybe some of the negative things that go on, or maybe it doesn't meet the standard or expectation. Mm-hmm. I'd say DP is, everything that this program is about. So anytime you see a player work that hard, have some success, that play was a team play. It was well blocked in the perimeter. Dalton, Titus came around, DP kind of squirted through and he showed good balance after contact, and then he was able to get in the end zone. So it's a credit to DP, it's a credit to DB and the offensive staff. So DP's a good football player. I've talked about this in the spring. We've talked about this. We feel he's going to help our football team in some capacity, and because he's shown the ability to do that. So, happy for DP for the work that he's put in, but also understand that, that was last week. Honestly, it doesn't have any bearing about what happens this week against Green Bay, because this is a week-to-week league. So, but glad Damian's on the team. He's had a great attitude, and he's made positive contributions to the program on a lot of levels.
Is Christian Harris, is he in a spot right now where you guys expected him to be? In August, did you know it was going to be this long of a recovery, and has there been complications along the way?
Yeah, I think this has kind of been a little bit of a tricky one, Seth, if I'm being honest with you. So, I think there's been some stops and starts. He was available, then he wasn't, and then he was back, and then I think that kind of second go-around, we kind of figured he was going to probably be out there for a period of time, but it's hard to put a timetable on anything. So, we'll kind of take it one day at a time, 1 week at a time. And, when a player is available, then he'll be available and he'll be on the field. So, I think we understood that there was going to be a period of time that we were going to have Christian, which is one of the reasons that we put him on DFR to start the season. So, kind of take it 1 week at a time. And when he's available, hopefully he can help us. And, but like I said, I'm not going to put any particular timetable on that one because it's really not fair to anybody involved.
Is that or just any other situations kind of shaped how you've handled Nico Collins? With Nico, you know, that hamstring had popped up previously and he played through it. Do you get to a point with a soft tissue where you're like, all right, well, we got to shut this guy down until he feels really good for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's always case by case. So our medical staff does a great job. So they provide the information to us, and then we look at the team. How do we want to manage the team? What do we feel makes the most sense? Understanding that there's certain parameters and rules in place, and if we feel like that makes the most sense, then we'll go ahead and do it. So Nico's working hard, certainly making progress. You know, hopefully once we get through the Jets game or whatever it is, I think it's after the Jets game, mm-hmm. then we'll see what his availability is. And no different than kind of what we did with Kurt there as well. Kind of Kurt had to start the season on DFR, so knew he was going to be out there for a period of time, started practicing here over the last few weeks. And, you know, we activated Kurt here yesterday, so what that means relative to Sunday, you know, I'm not really sure. But every situation is different. Every athlete is different. Every person's body responds differently. So all we can do is take the information, assess the information, try to make a good decision, and then just keep pressing forward. So that's what we're doing in the case of Nico.
Nick Caserio joining us on the program. Nick, you mentioned Kurt Heinisch. There's obviously some moving parts on the defensive line now with Mario Edwards' suspension for 4 games. You got DeNico Autry coming back. When we asked you about DeNico in the preseason, you had one of the best answers about any individual player that you've ever had on this program before. Can you speak to the composition of the D-line now over the next month or so with what you're losing in Mario, but you're bringing back on with DeNico Autry?
Yeah, we felt in the offseason that the defensive line as a collective group was probably going to be one of the stronger groups on the football team. And I think what has happened over the first 6 games has done nothing to dissuade that. So all kind of different. They all kind of bring different things to the table. I'd say DeNico is a player who, I mean, I eloquently stated how we felt about him in the offseason, alluding to your comments. But he's a good football player, has some position flexibility. He's done a great job of just kind of handling the situation. He's in really good condition. He's gotten stronger. So he's actually probably in a better spot now than he was during the offseason because he kind of dealt with some stops and starts. So we think DeNico, once he's available and kind of get through the week of practice here, will be a good addition to the group. That's what we felt like. And, you know, Mario has done a great job. I think that was a player who we thought fit our front, how we play. And that's kind of manifests itself in the way he plays. I mean, for a guy that's 300 pounds, the way he runs, his quickness, his playing strength, his ability to chase the ball. And then Kurt has been a very steady presence there. You know, I bust his chops a little bit and kind of tell him that, you know, his brother's a better player, which he didn't like hearing much about that. But Kurt's a good football player. He's very dependable, very tough, very instinctive. So, you know, he'll start. He's been practicing here for a few weeks, so we'll get through the week. So we feel like we have kind of 9-10 players that if we had to bring them all to the game, we could use them. Can't bring everybody to the game. So, and then, you know, we have some depth off the roster as well on a practice squad. Solomon Bird's made some progress here during the course of the season. He's definitely further along than he was there in training camp. And then we signed, you know, Tommy Togiai, who has some experience, who's kind of a little bit bigger body. So everything starts with the front. DR has talked about that. You know, we're only going to go as far as the front takes us. And then when you put that at the front on top of the second level, and then you get back to the secondary level. So, you know, we felt like that we'd be competitive on defense with the players that are in the building, understanding it's not perfect, but, you know, we feel like that's kind of come to fruition and we're in a pretty good spot there.
You know, with Will Anderson, I liked what DeMeco had said about him this week where he said, okay, it looked like some of the stuff at the top of his pass rush, creating separation to finish and get the sack, really showed up. And, you know, that was something that Will had worked on all offseason. And then early in the season, it felt like Will looked again a little bit more like he did in the first half of last season. With somebody like Will, the conscientious guys are sometimes the hardest guys because they're nervous. Like Will almost is too, is it that Will sometimes is too conscientious for his own good and he's afraid to try new stuff? Because I sense this in him. He wants to do right all the time and he doesn't want to do it. So when he tries to integrate new moves, it's going to take a little while for him to be super comfortable doing it. Do I read him right on that?
I would recommend that he talk to you about pass rush mechanics. So, but no.
Look, hey, whoa, wait. I'm sensing your sarcasm.
Will's a really good player. Will's a really good player. He works his ass off. He cares a lot about winning. And, you know, pass rush, honestly, it's a science. So, and there's different ways to get to the quarterback. There's different mechanisms. So, I mean, really what we want the defense to do is just play fast, trust your techniques, and everything else kind of takes care of itself. So, and that's the way we coach it. I think it's like a receiver, right? You know, when I was coaching the receivers, you try to figure out, you know, six different techniques to release to the line of scrimmage. Well, not really. You need one or two things that you kind of have in your arsenal. So if they take kind of the first thing away, you go to the next one. So I think football in general, just generally speaking, you don't overthink it. Understand the assignment, understand what you're trying to do on each play, and in the end, just go out there and play football. So I think teams have a lot of respect for, you know, for Will, for Daniil, and they're certainly, you know, going to do things to account for those players. So, Will's in a good spot. No, Will can help the team. I mean, and I think he's, you know, we're glad he's here.
Nick, no, listen, I'm not like, when I say that I'm nervous about him because he's conscientious, that's not a criticism at all. It's just that I enjoy sometimes those guys who are super conscientious, like it takes them a while to really let it loose, you know? And like with Will in the offseason, he was having a conversation with somebody where he said, like, yeah, I've been working on a spin move and I want to add it, but I'm nervous about doing it. And I know that this is because every high school defensive line coach despises his guys spinning because nobody knows when to do it. And probably his college coach told him not to spin. So there's a part of Will that I've seen this many times. It's like in their brain, they want to do right, but they've had 19 different coaches tell their defensive linemen never to spin. So it's hard for a conscientious young man to sometimes tap into the darker elements of his selfish pass rushing side. Yeah.
Maybe we could put him in a dark corner and, you know, play some, you know, heavy metal music, and that'll
Have him watch pro wrestling. Sit down and him watching Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dude,
or something.
I think a Will
You're giving
Anderson.
Sean too many ideas.
Yeah. Well, no, dude, I don't know. I don't think I could handle a Will Anderson heel turn. I love this.
Maybe
version.
Heyman could help him out.
Yes, he needs an advocate. He needs a wise man, Nick. He needs an advocate.
It's always a good thing in the long term with the conscientious ones, obviously, because they want to be good team players. And
we want them to care. Caring is a good thing.
Yeah, but I suffer for them. I know the pain that they're in, that they're like, Will's trying to do the right thing all the time. The really good pass rushers, sometimes they're a little psychotically irresponsible.
Like Lawrence Taylor, a good example.
Yes, be a little bit more, follow his program. Whatever Lawrence Taylor did, do exactly that. On the field, off the field.
And we're talking to Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and GM. Oh, I can get this in right now, Ben. You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. I already know Nick has time. We got that out of the way. I was thinking about this, Nick, because the money is so big right now. You know, like even the average in the NFL.
Something I could get in.
The average, you had your shot. Like even the average players making life-changing money. And I was thinking about this, like the money is so huge now, and Will Anderson makes me think about this, like how crucial is it to find guys that love football within the context of them being around a while? Like I'm guessing there's going to be more and more guys that feel like earlier on, they've made enough money now, we can get out. How crucial is it to find guys that, yeah, they want to make a lot of money, but they just love, you're not going to get the rug pulled out from under you because guys are leaving because they up and retire at age 26 or something like that.
Yeah, DR talks about this, I would say, religiously, and it's all about mindset, and it's all about work. And if you want to be great at something, like if you want to be affiliated with our program, if you don't enjoy competition and you don't enjoy the process and you don't enjoy and love football, it's probably going to be hard for you to have sustainable success in our program. But you look at over the course of the league, some of the best players were some of the most diligent workers, and they were always finding a way to improve and enhance their overall ability because they cared about winning and they were ultra competitive and they wanted to be great. So in any line of work, in any business, your level of commitment in work is commensurate with your performance. So if you're committed to being great, are you doing the things that are necessary to be great? The money kind of takes care of itself. So look, we're not ignorant here, naive. Like money is a big part of our business. money is a motivator for a lot of people, but you can't lose sight of the main thing. So from where you started to where you are now, we don't get into football or you don't get to any line of work unless you absolutely are committed and love what you're doing. So not to look at it from a personal level, and, you know, I'm not disclosing too much here, but when I started working in football, I mean, I made $14,000 in the NFL my first year. So if I was motivated by money, like, I would have been doing something else. So if you're committed to being great, you're going to put the work in, and then the money's eventually going to take care of itself. So the players are well compensated. They deserve what they get. But in the end, regardless of how much money you make or don't make, it's all about, do you have a good process? Do you come in each day? Are you committed to being great? Or do you put in purposeful work? Because that's what's going to result in a good outcome. Now, the reality is, just because you do those things, does it mean you're going to win every single game? No, not at all. But if you show a level of commitment on a consistent basis, if you want to have sustainable success over the course of your career, which when you go back and look at some of the greats, and I was fortunate to be around a lot of them in New England, and I would say fortunate to be around a lot of them here in Houston in my short period of time. So, and I'd say, you know, let's start with our head coach. Like, there's a prime example of somebody who loves football, cares about people, works his ass off, and wants to do what's right for the organization on a consistent basis. Like, those are the types of people that you want to be around on a day-to-day basis. And that's our responsibility, to find those people with that mindset, to get them in the building, because in the end, that's what you're going to win with. Like, we can talk about all the bells and whistles and all the other BS out there, but in the end, that's what it takes to have a good winning organization over the course of a long period of time. And that's what we're trying to create here, you know, for the city of Houston and for this organization.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits, or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com